KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
We live in a world where a device on our wrist can detect our step and vital signs, while our phones pop up with notifications telling us where we are in case we just didn't already know. But often, we look at these new inventions and forget the old great inventions that changed their time. We're going to talk about one of those inventions right here on Encounter. I'm Judy Redlick. Please stay tuned. Can you guess what it might be? It has two wheels, and it goes down the road, and you can ride it fast or slow. It's been changed over time, but the whole principle remains the same. Well, let's ask my guest to tell us all about this old invention. Mike Misrahi is my guest today, and he wrote a book about this old invention and how it changed time. Mike, welcome to Encounter.
Well, Judy, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm privileged to be with you. Thank you.
Let's see if our audience guessed what that two-wheel thing is. If you guessed bicycle, you are absolutely right. And Mike wrote the book, The Chattanooga Bicycle Race. Mike, why did you write The Great Chattanooga Bicycle Race? What put that in your head to write about the bicycle?
Well, it kind of crept up on me by surprise, actually, Judy, because I was doing some research, looking through the internet, and was originally going to write about the era of yellow journalism, right about that same time.
Oh, yeah, right about the same time, like 1900 was when the era started.
And I was, intrigued with women who did work at that time, not too many of them, that was traditionally set aside for men, and I came across an article that taught me about Annie Londonderry Kupchovsky, the first woman to ever ride a bicycle around the world.
Ooh.
In my mind.
Can you share some of that article with us?
Well, I don't have it in my hands, but essentially it talked about how Annie, a young woman who was 23 at the time and had three children, was challenged by two businessmen in Boston that she could not ride around the world and beat the time that was set by a man 10 years prior when he rode around the world. And she took the bet and set off on the ride, and sometime into the ride started wearing bloomers, and she was able to actually, actually win the bet. So I was just intrigued by that, and that led to a whole kind of revolution, social revolution in America, because it changed clothing standards.
Really? Really? A great women's rights issue.
Yeah.
So how did it change
clothing? If you remember what women were wearing, then it was...
Talk about that.
Skirts. Yeah, it was these large, heavy hoop skirts, and what they called at the time the safety bicycle, the invention that you're talking about, is actually the forerunner of our common-day bicycle today, allowed just about anybody to ride, except it was pretty hard for women.
Yeah, it had those big wheels on it, didn't it? And a wide seat?
Yeah, and eventually the manufacturers, actually seeing the potential market, actually created the bike specifically for women with the kind of the dip-down bar in the middle taken and dipped down.
Uh-huh.
And manufacturers started creating different clothing styles that made it easier for women to ride.
Wow, and yeah, the hoop skirt would not fit on a bicycle. So she wore bloomers, and she started that new style. So talk about the new styles that came about because of women starting to ride bicycles.
Well, you had the bloomers. The bloomers were considered scandalous, especially in the South, where I've located this story. But if you actually look at a bloomer, women in bloomers, doesn't look by our standards to be scandalous at all, but they wore a hat and they wore kind of a nice, stylish jacket. They had the pants that, went down to just below the knee, and mm-hmm. they wore leggings all the way down to their boots. And it allowed them to ride the bicycle unhindered by the chain. And so more and more women were wearing that, but not in the South.
Tell us, Mike, did Annie win the contest?
You're talking about the big Chattanooga bicycle race?
Yeah, I'm talking about the big Chattanooga bicycle race against the two businessmen.
Oh, did okay, well, let's keep this straight. So the bet was the real life bet with Annie Londonderry, and yes, Annie did win the bet, and actually became quite a self promoter up until she died. I think it was in the 1940s. But Anna Gaines, my lead character,
and this is
also wins.
Hold on. So then you wrote a fictional story about a young lady based on the story that you read of Annie Lunbury.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and your fictional character is Anne Gaines. Tell people Anna Gaines' story.
Yes, Anna Gaines is born in Chickamauga, which is one valley over from Chattanooga, and she lives on a farm with her parents and her brothers. And everything goes quite smoothly for Anna until she turns 13 and she experiences this horrendous accident where she's thrown from her favorite horse, who's called Longstreet. And she ends up in bed for a year trying to allow her leg to heal because it's broken in several places. When she does finally get out of the bed, she has a really noticeable limp. So she becomes rather withdrawn, doesn't go out much, learns how to become a seamstress. Her mother teaches her that. So she lives kind of a secluded life and becomes kind of inward. And by the time she's 19, she decides it's time to kind of break out of this shell that she's put herself into. And so she moves to Chattanooga, the city right near Chickamauga, and she gets a job as a seamstress and lives in a boarding house where she meets her best friend. And the story really is about Anna breaking the chains that bind her, coming into herself. She is actually thinking about, you know, going to college, possibly becoming a teacher. And it's on a trip to visit her aunt in New York where she learns how to ride a bicycle, and the whole world opens up to her. She's quite excited about it, about the freedom and independence that it gives her.
She could no longer ride a horse, but now she is able to ride a bicycle. She overcame her fears, and she wanted to desperately break out of her shell, so she did try something new. And, Mike, it's really interesting that you would use a disability to happen in Anna's life, because so many people with disabilities or traumatic experiences that might have happened to them can't go forward beyond those experiences. So they lose so much of what God wants them to do in their life.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. God's got so much, you know, for us. And fear, unfortunately, you know, oftentimes keeps us back. And that was the case with Anna. And so she desperately wants to experience more of life than she is experiencing. And it's a struggle for her.
So she moves to New York, and then all this starts to happen. So when was she introduced to the bicycle?
Well, when she visits New York and she visits her aunt takes her to kind of an indoor riding rink where people could actually go and learn to ride a bicycle. And at the end of her stay, she's there for a week, her aunt takes her on June 15th. This is a fact. On June 15th, the first dedicated bicycle path is opened up that leads from Brooklyn's Prospect Park to Coney Island.
Wow. And how many miles is that, Mike?
It's about 6 miles.
Hmm. What year was that?
This is 1895.
Oh, so there really was a bike path in 1895. There was a 6-mile bike path, and that was the first bike path.
Yes, the nation's
first
bike path. And it opens up in June, right when my book opens up. And so Annie and her aunt, in the first chapter, ride this bicycle path to Coney Island. And all of a sudden, the world opens up to her. And through a series of events after that, after she goes back home to Chattanooga, she gets a bike, and she starts riding out in Chickamauga first, but then, you know, comes closer into town, and more and more people see her, and the community comes unglued. There's one character, Bertha Millwood, who is trying to get over the death of her daughter, who is kind of the activist, the firebrand, who does not want to let loose of the kind of the post-antebellum kind of customs and culture. And she sees the bicycle as the devil himself.
Wow.
And so she leads a community revolt, really, against Anna and her writing. And, you know, much of the book is really about what happens. How does she change? How does she grow? Who supports her? Who comes to her rescue? And ultimately, why is there a race, the Great Chattanooga Bicycle Race, toward the end of the book? And I'm not going to tell you who wins that or even who's in.
But why was there a race, Mike? Got to tell us that. Why was there a race?
Well, let's just put it this way. There was a challenge that women were not as able or capable of riding a bicycle as men. And so that challenge was taken up first by Anna's best friend, Emma, who volunteers her to participate in a big race like this against the cycling club's president, whose name is Peter, who holds a crush on Anna. And so that's a whole other dimension.
So there's a love story involved. I love it. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. We're going to take a quick break and be back with Mike and learn more about the Great Chattanooga Bicycle Race. I'm Judy Redlich. If you're enjoying Encounter, you can listen to it every day, Monday through Friday, if you live in the greater St. Louis area on KSIV Radio. That's 1320 AM on your dial. If you have a guest suggestion, email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Browse my website, judyredlich.com, to listen to more of the Encounter shows. Hey, I'm Judy Redlich. We're back. This is Encounter. Thanks for joining me today. My guest is Mike Mizrahi. Mike just came out with that book, The Great Chattanooga Bicycle Race. Mike, what takeaway do you want our listeners to get from this book?
There's quite a few themes that I've woven into it and kind of life lessons, I think. But, you know, the reader benefits include something that I grab a hold of, and I always try to live my life this way. And it's the idea that, you know, joy, Anna's joy, really is not going to come from anything or experience. It's going to come from, you know, what's in her heart and what she holds as excellent and praiseworthy and just and pure. And so that's a meaningful, you know, a piece of scripture that I try and keep in mind.
What is that favorite scripture of yours that you just paraphrased?
It's in Philippians, and I think it's chapter 4. I hope I'm not misspeaking, but whatever is true, whatever is
honorable,
whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is just, whatever is pure, think upon these things. I'm paraphrasing. The other idea is it comes from something that Anna learns from Hattie Washington, who's a minor character in the book. She's a colored woman who Anna befriends, and Hattie tells her that it's okay to do what you want to do as long as you know what you hold, you know, in your heart, to whom and to what do you bow down to. If the people against you hold bitterness in their heart, and you have a strong relationship with your maker, and you bow to no one or nothing but him, then you're going to be on the right path.
But God wants us to get rid of that bitterness and those challenges that we face in our lives. So often he gives us the opportunity to choose whether to forgive and go on and go forward, or to be bitter and not go on.
That's true, and that's something that Anna learns, and it's something that her nemesis, Bertha Millwood, has to learn as well. You know, taking small steps, you know, in the face of challenges and adversity can often, you know, bring us closer to our dreams and goals. And in the case of Annie Londonderry Kupchowski, and in the case of my mythical character, Anna Gaines, it can change history.
Wow, the beginning is half done. You know, I was drawn to this book, actually, doing this interview with you, and I will tell you why I was drawn to that. Because one of the things that you are doing is giving some of the proceeds of this book to organizations who teach kids with disabilities how to ride bike. And let me tell you about my dad. When I was in first grade, all my friends were learning how to ride bikes, and they learned without the training wheels. So I wanted to do the same thing. And I remember my dad rode with me down the sidewalk. He would walk along the right side of me, and he would teach me how to hold my bike steady without the training wheels, and he would make sure that I stayed on the sidewalk. And when we came to the street, he'd be right there with me, helping me cross the street. So I learned how to manage the two-wheeler. But because I was blind, he didn't want to let me alone there, because I might go off the path or I might not know when the street came. So we developed a little system where the person in front of us would put bicycle flips with clothespins on the spoke of their bicycle wheel, the back bike wheel. And that bike wheel, as it went, it would go click, 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 click. And I would listen to those flips going past, going in front of me on the spokes of the bikes as they hit the tire. And I would just follow right behind that bicycle. So when I read this and learned about that you were doing this, I thought, I have to interview Mike, because it brought back so many memories in my life. And when I began how to learn to ride a two-wheeler, I was scared, because I didn't know if I could do it, but I knew my friends were doing it. And Mike, I love that phrase, beginning is half done, because it's such an encouraging phrase that if you've already started something, you might as well continue it, because you're only half done. And you just started getting into it, and moving on forward helps you move forward. Tell us about the organization that some of the proceeds of your book are going toward.
Yeah, the name of the organization is called I Can Shine. And one of the things that they do is they hold bicycle camps in 23 states and in two or three different locations in Alaska. And I had a conversation with the owner of the organization, and I immediately just connected. We both connected. And after our first conversation, prayed about, you know, kind of coming together and doing something that would advance their efforts. So, you know, much of the proceeds that come from, you know, the sale after the expenses from the sale of every book are going to be donated to I Can Shine. And we have all kinds of hopes and dreams. We would love to be able to set up more camps in different states. We'd love to be able to offer scholarships for the camps for inner city kids to be able to go to camp. So the encouragement to potential readers out there is, I think you'll find in this book an enjoyable story, a story about overcoming adversity, and you'll feel good about, much of the proceeds from the book going to help kids to ride bicycles, kids with Down syndrome, you know, other children that have...
How about blind children? Are you including them in the camps?
When I went to one camp, I did not see
You'll
any
have to
blind
check
kids.
That
Certainly,
out. You'll they, have to
they,
just
they're
check
set up
that
to
out.
Do that, yeah.
Awesome. Mike Mizrahi is my guest on this edition of Encounter. I'm Judy Redlick. The Great Chattanooga Bicycle Race is the book that he wrote. Do you have a yearning to write, but you fear that you're just too old to publish a book? Well, Mike didn't publish his book till after he retired. Mike, what tips do you give budding authors who are in your same position?
Well, don't be afraid. Don't let fear overcome you. I think that our Creator has imbued in us a desire to be creative. And it might be cooking, and it might be writing, and it might be writing a novel. So, like I said before, beginning is half done. Think about what you're interested in. Think about the things that you've done in your past that perhaps you know a little bit about and that you can learn more about. Be willing to spend time researching. That's really, really important. If you spend that time, you're going to come across some very interesting things. And that might lead you in a certain direction in your writing.
And the
that's
great Chattanooga
to me on this book.
And the Great Chattanooga Bicycle Race is what Mike has just come out with. Mike Mizrahi is my guest today on Encounter. Mike, how can people get a copy of your book?
Well, I would love for them first to go to my website, and that's Mike H. Mizrahi. So it's M-I-K-E-H. Mizrahi.com.
So that's Mike H. Mizrahi.com. MikeHMizrahi.com.
Yeah, and when they go there, they can get automatically. They just hit the right the right button. They can get to Amazon.com, or they can go directly to Amazon and type in the name of the book. They can get to Redemption Press from my website and to Barnes & Noble. All three of those are carrying the book.
A great read, The Great Chattanooga Bicycle Race by Mike Mizrahi. Mike, thanks a lot for being my guest. Remember, you can be an overcomer at any age in your life. Don't be afraid. Go for it, and God will help you. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.